In preparing for today, I was given a thought, and that thought is on your bulletin. It's from Luke chapter 2. I want you all to bring out your Bibles. Take them out, open it up. We're going to go through this story together, and I think it's important that we look at some things here and then begin to look at some things in our lives and see if we have room for Jesus. Shall we pray at this time? Heavenly Father, you've given me this message. I don't know exactly how it's going to come out, but I know that your Holy Spirit will make it come out right. And so we're asking for that help at this time. We pray that the hearts would be open and that your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's just look at our Bibles. I was praying about this the other night, and the Lord said, let's just go through the scriptures together and then make some comments. All right, we'll do that. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now, what do you think? Do you think all the world should be taxed?
No.
Aha. BC, and that's what they say, that they said that there's only two sure things, death and taxes. And, well, maybe that's true, I don't know. But the world at that time was ruled by Caesar Augustus. And Caesar Augustus came from a line of Caesars. In fact, he was number two. The first one had been assassinated. The country back then, Rome, the Roman Empire, was much like the United States of America is.
Yes.
It's almost uncanny, the similarities. First of all, it started out as a republic, not an empire. And it had three presidents instead of one. But it gradually, through intrigue and through politics and through all the different things that go on, it ended up that Caesar, Julius Caesar, well, ended up having to be the emperor. And he paid for that mistake with his life, but it went on to become an empire, and it became a world empire, and it became so powerful that one man could say, let's tax the whole world, and it was so.
Yeah.
And it said this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed. Everybody had to go pay their taxes, everyone, into his own city. Now, for that to be, you had to know what city wherein you were born, and you had to go to that city to pay your taxes. And if you could imagine, if we had to go to the city wherein we were born to be taxed, some of us would be scattered everywhere, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Thank God we can pay our taxes right here in Aiken. But Joseph went up from Galilee, and this isn't a big long trip that they went on, as far as that goes. The Holy Land is a very small place, really. And you can go from one end to the other in a day, well, in less than a day, in just a few hours now. It's so fast, but they just got up on a donkey and went. And Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So they went, and they're going to go pay their taxes. And this was a trip that had to be done, and had to be done immediately. Obviously, she couldn't have her baby where she was. They had to go to Bethlehem. And, of course, that was God. God was behind that, because it said in the scriptures that in Bethlehem of Judea, that's where the Messiah would be born. So, you know, every volcano, earthquake and everything has been preordained by God to happen at the time that it happens. And all these things, it says, like in the beginning of the chapter, it came to pass. And it came to pass that this was the time that Jesus was to be born, and he had to be born in Bethlehem. And so Mary and Joseph, they went to look for a place to stay. You have to have somewhere to stay when you're in a town. And generally, if you're from out of town and you don't have relatives in town, or they're all filled up, you go to a hotel. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. Looks like Bethlehem only had one hotel, and it was full. Now, when I go to hotels all the time. I go from town to town and county to county. And if I'm going to work in that county, God provides me with a hotel room where I move on. And I always get a hotel room God provides, and I never have to pay for a hotel room. And in 3 years, I haven't paid for one. God takes care of you. If you're doing His work, He makes sure you're taken care of. Yeah. And here is Jesus just about to be born, and there's no room for Him. Oh, there's no room for Mary to have a baby. There's no room for Joseph and Mary. But God has a way of providing, and sometimes it's not the Hilton you're going to stay in. They didn't stay at the Hotel Hilton in Bethlehem. They stayed in the stable of the Hotel Hilton in Bethlehem, because that's what there was. And when you're pregnant and ready to have a baby, you'll have it anywhere. Some people today have them in taxis. They have them here. They have them there. Wherever. If it's time for that baby to come, it's coming. And this baby was well on its way, and He was coming, and we were waiting for Him. The world was waiting for Him. We all wanted Him to come, didn't we? No, we didn't. Not everybody wanted Jesus to come. In fact, a lot of them, when they heard about He was coming, or they heard about that He had come, they wanted to kill Him. Some people are so upset about somebody taking their position, their place, where they think they ought to be, like Herod thought there shouldn't be any other king but him, but he had to put up with Caesar. Caesar was a little bit more powerful than he, but as far as a rinky-dink little king in a place like Judea, he was the big shot, and he said, I don't want any other king, let's kill all those babies. Now, can you imagine living under the governorship of a man who would kill your baby if he thought he was in the way? And yet, this is just like our times today. Babies and elderly people are in the way, and they need to be disposed of. Isn't that the attitude of the world today? How many babies are lost because people don't want them? Don't have any room in their life for a baby. Don't have any room in their life for an elderly parent. Let's just throw them in the nursing home and forget them. No room, no room, no room. No room in your heart for a lot of things. Jesus came and they didn't have room for Him, but He was born anyway. Oh, and they were in the same country. Let's read on here. Shepherds abiding the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. When Jesus came, who cared? Who noticed? Who was ready? And who was not? We got all these players in place here. We got Mary, we got Joseph, we got Elizabeth, we got Zechariah, we got shepherds, we got Herod, we got the Magi, the wise man. We got all these people, different ones, waiting for something to happen. And some were anticipating. And who was it that came and seen Jesus when He was born? Shepherds. Shepherds had time to visit Jesus when He was born. And that's kind of significant because Jesus is the good shepherd. Yeah. Why shouldn't shepherds come? Why shouldn't they be the guests of honors? Because He's the chief shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want for anything. And so shepherds came. They were alerted by angels. There was quite a stir in the city of Bethlehem because of something that was happening. There was a star shining over the city, and people did not know what that was all about. And He's the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000. There He was, in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Joseph and Mary wondering at this. Mary wondering, well, how could I possibly have had this baby, carrying him for all that time, knowing that she had never known a man? What that must have done to her brain. Can you imagine, you any of you ladies, of having a baby and never having had a man near you? It was mind-boggling, but she knew because God had told her through Gabriel that she would have a son and they would call his name Jesus, for he would save their people from their sins, call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. This was not just a baby. Oh, it was a baby in every sense of the word. Don't you think that Mary didn't have to change his diapers and wipe his nose and spoon feed him and do all the things that you mothers have to do for babies and bring him up like a little boy ought to be brought up and have a good daddy like Joseph to emulate. Joseph was chosen because he would be a good father. See, a lot of children today don't have that example of a good father. And so talking about a heavenly father fills them with fear and trepidation because their earthly father fills them with fear and trepidation. Because some of them don't know what kind of a dad our father is. And our father is a loving father who loves us so much that he was willing to sacrifice this little baby on a cross on a hill far away for our sins. And for us who were not even yet born for centuries down the road, we would come along and would need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. And this little baby they had no room for. They had no room for him. Why, isn't that like the world today? It's nearly time for Jesus to come back, and who's ready? We get ourselves prepared for so many things. We've been preparing for this season for the last month and a half. It's just been preparation, 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 preparation. And it's all right that we do so. That's okay. But do you have room for the baby? Do you have room for Jesus? Is there room in your celebration for the Son of God? Is there room in your heart for what God wants, for what He requires? You see, it's not so much that we give presents, it's the fact that God is the giver and He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So He died the death that we deserve, so we could live the life that He deserves.
Amen. That's right.
We cannot outgive God. It's nice to give gifts. It's nice to eat the nice food that we have at this time. It's nice to do these nice things. But do we have room for Jesus? We need to find room for the baby. We need to get Him out of the stable and into our hearts. We need to find a place for Him in our lives. Surely the Sabbath day is His day, is it not?
Yeah.
Isn't this a great time to remember every Sabbath day to come together and invite this little baby who became a man, who became our Savior, who died on the cross, into our lives, into our hearts, to fill us with His Spirit and to give us the boldness to proclaim His Word to the world and say that I am not ashamed to be associated with Jesus. I am not ashamed to be associated with the Seventh-day Adventist Church because this is God's remnant here on earth and we should proclaim this to the world that Christ came into the world to save sinners such as me and such as you. We are His children. We are the sheep of His pasture. And here were these shepherds coming. And the message to them, the angel of the Lord came upon them and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were very afraid. Sore afraid, it says. And the angel said unto them, and this is what the angel says to us today, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings. I bring you the gospel, here He is, of great joy. Now joy is an emotion above happiness. Joy goes beyond happiness. In fact, you can have joy and be not very happy. And some people are in not very happy situations, but they have the joy of the Lord because the joy of the Lord is their strength and we need the joy of the Lord. We need it. Without the joy of the Lord, and it said, which shall be unto all people. And what is that joy? What is that wonderful news? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a little baby. No, more than a little baby. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. How could that be? Prophetically, because at that particular moment he was not anybody's ruler. He was being subjected under the leadership, under the mother and fatherhood of Mary and Joseph. He was going to be raised as a child among children, as a man among men. It was his destiny. For 30 odd years, he was relatively unknown, and nobody gave him a second thought. And then that explosion, after he was baptized in Jordan, he exploded into marvelous action. He began to preach. He preached the Sermon on the Mount. He began to heal. He began to raise the dead. He changed water into wine, walked on water. He did all these marvelous things, raised the dead, cleansed lepers, opened blind eyes, unstopped deaf ears. What an explosion of activity, and began to show folks that it was far better to give and to be a servant than to receive. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He wanted to raise up a generation, a church, a people of givers, not takers. He said it's far more blessed to give than to receive. We need to begin to give this out and tell people about Jesus and share Jesus with folks and tell people that Jesus cares. And that we care and show our Christianity by our actions and not just by our words. He was inconspicuous for 30 years. How could somebody as marvelous and as wonderful... Oh, he showed up at age 12. He did. They took him down to the temple and he got really, really absorbed in his conversations with the older folk. So much so, and they trusted him, and they just walked off and left him, thought he was in the crowd, and walked a day's journey. Where's Jesus? He's not here. He was inconspicuous. They didn't worry about his behavior. I guess he was a well-behaved child because they just didn't worry about him until they were a day's journey away, and then, oh, where's Jesus? Would you trust your 12-year-old that way? He must have been a remarkable child. And we got some remarkable children in this congregation that are young and that are upstanding and have got good parents and then are just growing up the way they should because mom is right on top of them. But you know, Jesus was special, and he was talking to those lawyers and doctors and asking them questions that he probably already knew the answer to. But he asked them questions, and they were surprised at his questions and his answers. For 12 years old, and that must have been, I was thinking that must have been his bar mitzvah. They must have taken him down to Jerusalem for his bar mitzvah, because 12, 13 years old is when a Jew becomes a man. And they have to memorize scriptures, and they have to be able to recite certain scriptures, and they begin to read the Torah in the synagogue from age 12 on as a regular man from that time on. Although Jesus didn't come out and begin his ministry till he was 30, yet he was a man among men. But there was no room for him. Well, even in the end of his life, there was no room for him. We want Barabbas. Crucify him. Crucify him. We want Barabbas. There was no room for him. But yet, there's room for him in my heart today. Yeah. Is there room for him in your heart today? Do you want him? Jesus wants to come in. It says in Revelation, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Yeah. He doesn't barge his way in. He knocks. and the Holy Spirit knocks at your heart, is there room for Jesus? Do you have room for Jesus in your heart today? 3.5 years and then he was gone. 3.5 years. Why does he care so much for what happens to us? He said, you are the light of the world. And nobody takes a light or a candle and puts it under a bushel, but he puts it on a hill or puts it on a high place where it can be seen. See, not only should we believe in him, but he believes in us. He believes in us. He believes that we can do the job. That's amazing. When you look at a person, I look in the mirror and I say, God, can you work through me? How can you possibly use this? And yet he takes available material and he begins to shape it and he begins to mold it and he begins to turn it into whatever he supposes it should be. Whether it's a vessel of honor or whatever, it's all for his kingdom. When we look at our Sabbath school lesson and see what he did with Jacob's 12 sons, he had rough material there to work with, didn't he? Oh, Judah, what a mess you were. Oh, Simeon. Oh, Levi. Oh, Reuben. Oh, the rest of you guys. But he straightened them out. And he can straighten you out. If whatever is bothering you, whatever your shortcomings is, whatever your sins are, he can forgive them. If you've got room. He's looking for room. Where do you fit him in? At this time of the year, while we're preparing all the things that we prepare, while we're decorating, while we're doing this, buying this, preparing this, let's take some time to get into the scriptures and let's read this over again and over again and over again. As the saying, the expression goes, wise men still seek him today. And I speak as unto a wise person. Man, judge ye what I say. Are you wise? Would you like wisdom? Ask the Lord, he'll give it to you. Would you like whatever you want? If you ask in his name, and it's according to his will, he will give it to you. Let's raise our children the right way. Let's read this story to them at this time of the year. Let's tell them about what Jesus has done for them. Let's make room for Jesus. What do you say? Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that even though we were wicked, wicked children and did not want you, yet you knew that we needed you. And you came anyway. And you died for our sins. And you made a way for us to get right with you and get right with our fellow man and become something that you will call a jewel. Or just something beautiful. You made something beautiful out of our lives and continue to do so. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would now go forth and enlighten the hearts of those that are listening this morning and see if there be any wicked way therein or any selfishness there or anything that does not belong. And we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to purge it out of us, to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us new creatures, and mold our characters into something that is beautiful. This we ask in Jesus' name.